cliffcentral.com. 360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
It is 360 Biz indeed. My name is Deboho Mafodi. Welcome to another installment of 360 Biz. It is very, very, very hot out there. You know what? You'd swear horror. God wants to bry us or something. I don't know, my brother. Bulelan, do you think God wants to bry us, bro?
I think that if God was sitting somewhere trying to bry meat, I am the last piece of meat he needs to bry. As you can see, my skin tone.
But you're the freshest,
already on that level.
Studio.
No. You are the lightest in the studio. So that means that you are the first to go into the grill. But it's very, very hot.
Yeah.
For the past 2 days, it's been extremely, extremely hot. But very productive, I'd like to think. How was your last 2 months of the year going?
It's crazy, my brother. I'm trying to chase last minute things because remember, I'm flying, I'm going back to the States on Friday.
Kanja, how long are you going away for?
For the rest of the year. First, you know?
That's crazy.
So, but I'm excited because I'm going to be looking forward to be 1 week, I'm going to be broadcasting in London, 1 week. I think maybe 2 weeks in California, another week in LA. I'm in the midst of Hollywood, dude. I wanna be broadcasting next to Will Smith.
That's gonna be crazy.
Then from there it's New York, Washington, then come back home, bro. Hey, but it's cold that side of here. You could imagine from such hotness then to winter, bro.
No. I mean, obviously, you need to go out to such places prepped. I mean, I've been overseas as well. I've been to places like East London. I've been to places like Paris, also known as Paris, to the bourgeoisies or the fluent. So enjoy New York, my man.
Yeah, no, definitely, my brother. I'm definitely looking forward to enjoying it. I know it's one country, though, that is big on recycling, and being one of the things that we're going to be discussing today, being the issue of waste. I'm definitely looking forward to the show today. I mean, it is indeed 360 Biz. Today we're looking at waste or waste entrepreneurs. I know that in studio we're sitting with a waste entrepreneur. Those are entrepreneurs that are in the waste management space. And I'm sitting as with a chief, you know, what chief in, okay, but what's an acronym for CEO?
Chief excitement or no? Chief executive officer.
Yes. You know, for me, the reason I get confused with that acronym, because CEOs, I regard them creators of opportunities, you know? Yeah. So that's why for me, I'm like, you know, creators of economic opportunities. So that's why it becomes strange now when you need to be bringing it in this aspect of the discussion, you know? So this gentleman, I know for some time now, but we had not actually met officially, you know, and now we discover that we know people in, you know, mutual friends, and we know. And for me, it's strange now. This man is a financial person. I know him to be that. So now we're going to be talking about him being the acting CEO and speaking waste with him. So I don't know how that is going to feature from a financial person to actually be discussing business, my brother. Anyway.
No, man. I mean, waste is something that affects all of us. So, I mean, I'm sure he's got quite a bit to say there. And I mean, I think that when you look at the matter of waste, especially, you know, because I do a lot of work in townships, there's quite a bit of insight I think I'd like to squeeze out from the experts who are in studio with regards to, I mean, you know, one could even walk away from this conversation, put together a waste program with these geniuses that are sitting in the studio.
No, definitely. We have a visitor from Cape Town as well. That we're looking forward to be having on the show. Hi, Leah, how are you?
Hi there, how are you, Deboho?
No, good, thanks. No, you can be comfortable. You can turn the mic.
Okay.
Whichever way, it's okay.
Yes.
Do you want to say hi to our listeners? Tell us who you are, what is that you do?
Hi, my name is Leah Ntlondlo, and I am a presenter, MC, as well as an actress.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, nice. So what are you doing in Joburg?
In Joburg right now, I'm just here to get opportunities out of the city.
Really?
Yes, I am.
Bro, you know this thing of people running to Joburg for opportunities, bro. They must stay in their own towns.
Let's pause this conversation. Where are you from?
I'm from Joburg.
You're not from Joburg.
No, I'm not.
There's no light-skinned black guy who's from Joburg. You're from the Cape or the Shores or wherever. I mean, I'm from Joburg. You can see that my granddad was digging some mine somewhere.
Ah, listen to you. But anyway, coming back to the issue of waste, I mean, waste can be defined in many ways. And it is quite evident, I mean, from differing definitions adapted in a white paper, that the strategy and the Waste Act, I mean, the exact definition of waste is whoever the topic ongoing debate because of an increasing global trend to reduce, reuse, rework, and recycle, recover the so-called waste product. One person's waste can now become another person's valuable raw material. Also, with challenging technologies, availability, and cost of original input materials, the demand for or the need recovered in waste changing. I mean, it's part of the discussion that we're having today. The guest that we have today, like I've said, I'm sitting with the acting CEO of Proudly SA, Mr. Ostas Mashimbe. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
It's Eustace.
Eustace. Oh, Eustace Mashimbe. Oh, okay. And we're sitting as well with the wastepreneur, Ms. Zandi Lengosi, who's the managing member of Z. How are you, Mengosi?
I'm good, thank you, and yourself?
No, definitely. Thank you for joining us today in studio. Maybe let me start with the ladies first. Do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners? Tell us a brief about what it is that you do.
Good afternoon to all the listeners. My business is actually in waste management. So what we do in waste management, we actually hire out trucks to various municipalities. Currently, we are hiring to the city of Johannesburg and also to Welkom. And basically, we collect the waste for them and then we take them to the landfills. And at the same time, we are looking at collecting whatever waste is collected, collecting the recyclables from there, which will be your bottles, your tins, your cardboard boxes, and then we take them through to people who actually buy back those products.
So now, I mean, Mengosi, tell me, you said you are you a waste transporter?
Transporter, yes.
Oh, okay. What kind of trucks? Because I know we've got skipper trucks and we've got compactor trucks, and
we have compactor trucks. We have skip waste trucks,
okay,
which would be your skip bin waste lifters, mm-hmm, called, and then we also have skip bins.
Mm, yeah, no, definitely, Mr. Mashimbe. Take this opportunity to tell our listeners who you are and what is that you do.
Okay, I'm from Proudly South African, and Proudly South African basically is a buy-local campaign aimed at rallying the nation to make sure that we get people to buy local products and services.
Mm-hmm.
And just like Ms. Nkosi, as an entrepreneur, would be someone that would affiliate with the Proudly South African campaign, and we would then help her with market access opportunities. So we find opportunities where others can't, and the basic aim basically is to make sure that we create demand for those products and services that come out of entrepreneurs, local entrepreneurs, because the ultimate aim is to make sure that we can sustain existing jobs and create new jobs. So through entrepreneurs who then have a product to put out into the market, we take those, we find markets for them, and basically drive up demand to make sure that, you know, and I think it's a simple equation. If there's a need for those products and there's a need for the entrepreneur to produce more, then ultimately they have to then employ more people and keep those that are already employed in those companies. And that's basically why the campaign exists, to make sure that we can rally South Africans to support what is made locally. Because if you buy what is made in another country, you're effectively creating a job in that specific country.
Okay. But Mr. Mashimbe, tell me, I know Proudly SA, and I'm sure Bulela, you know Proudly SA, right?
I'm a member.
Oh, good. Okay.
In good standing.
So I'm in good company.
Okay. So definitely, for the longest time, you guys have not focused on waste or the construction industry. Why the all of a sudden change of strategy to come this way?
It's not necessarily a change of strategy that entailed us focusing on the construction sector, but it's a change of strategy which said, let's find sectors which have a value chain that helps us reach many more sectors. So the impact with this kind of sector, so with construction, does not just end with people that are in construction. There are other sectors that supply into the construction sector. There are other sectors that feed off this specific sector. So waste was just one of those, because one of the criteria for being a member of Paris FCAN is making sure that companies that affiliate with us do not harm the environment in any way. So, and that's why the waste element kicked in there, because we are saying, as much as we want you to support local companies, as much as we want you to help us to create jobs, but in the course of doing that, in the course of production, in the course of constructing, dispose of your waste responsibly. So it's an element that has always been part of the Proudly South African campaign, but it's just in terms of
identifying sectors that we want to focus on. Construction is one of those that, you know, I think the gains are much, and the impact that we'll be able to make through focusing on a sector like that, it's quite huge for us. Mm. Instead of just focusing on a sector which is not labor intensive, and we're not necessarily saying that the non-labor intensive sectors will not be focused on, but it's better for us to put our efforts behind sectors where we know that the gains for the economy will be big.
Okay. So you spoke of members. So I take it proudly as it's a member-based kind of organization. Mm.
Yes, so companies that affiliate with us, we term them as members. So you'll get a company like Misinkosi's one, which would affiliate with us. But before you affiliate with us, we check for criteria.
Menkos, are you in good standing?
Not to say it.
So there's a list for me.
I am registering from the...
So there's a list for me. So by the time I leave here, I'll go back to the office and I say, you see, I've worked. I have one list of somebody who perfectly fits the criteria in that whatever material she's using are sourced locally, because it's the ways that she sources locally. And that's the first criteria. That's the first thing we look at to say, are you using local resources? Mm-hmm. Because if it's local resources, then we know that we're not getting things that come into the country and they're fully assembled and they're ready to hit the shelves. Mm-hmm. So in this instance, you will have to employ local people. And that's why the local content aspect is important for us, because if it's materials that have to be transformed locally because they're sourced locally, then we know that the job creation element, the job creation aspect kicks in.
Mm.
Second one is quality. So we'll have to look at her processes to see that the conversion of that waste into the final product that she wants to put out into the market, it's looking at the quality aspect. Because it's one thing to say to people, buy local, but if it's inferior quality, then it defeats the purpose. So let's get rid of this notion that what is made locally is of poor quality and can't compete with global products. So that's the second thing we look at. The third one is to make sure that the people that are employed in these companies are treated fairly. So we look at the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. It prescribes minimum things that you must comply with.
Mm-hmm.
So basically to make sure that, you know, you implement fair labor practices. And once we've looked at that, then the last one is the environmental one. Not that it's the least important, but it's very important. And that's why now we focused on waste, and we looked at sectors where there's a lot of waste being generated, construction being one of those, to say, you know, the cost of doing business, do not harm the environment in any way. Dispose of your waste responsibly, recycle and reuse them, reuse the waste. So that I think if there's a need for that waste to be put into production processes, then it will be disposed of responsibly. Maybe dispose is not even the right word. Then don't be disposed. It will be collected for reuse. And that's the culture that we want to introduce to companies that affiliate with us. And that's why we've taken an effort to focus on this sector and to partner with people like Pick It Up, who are in that space, to say, let's partner with you. Let's find all these companies that have responsibility to make sure that we protect the environment, because in the course of doing business, they have a lot of waste, at their disposal.
Yeah. So. Let me hear, you spoke of, when you said when you get to the office, you would have lobbied one member. Mm. So let's help you get other members, you see. What's the qualifying criteria for membership, and what are the benefits do they get? You see, I'm covering you, Mangos.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
You need to know these things.
So the criteria, like I mentioned, is those four. Quality is one. Local content is two.
Mm-hmm.
Fair labor practices is three. And, making sure that you implement sound environmental standards is the fourth one.
Mm.
And the benefits, I think the biggest benefit is the fact that you have an ability, you have a chance, and we give you an opportunity to use the logo, the Proudly South African logo. So you can identify yourself as a South African company that produces quality products. Because that is what the logo stands for. And that's why if you look at the mark, the Proudly South African mark, it's made up of the South African colors, the flag, the colors of the flag, because it symbolizes the fact that it's a locally manufactured product. And the tick stands for quality, to make sure that it's a local, people can tell instantly that it's a local product which meets high quality standards.
Mm.
So that is the first major benefit. You can use the logo on all your corporate material. You can use the logo on all your online identifiers, whether it's your website, or whether it's your social media platforms. You have the opportunity to then use the logo and identify yourself as a local company. But there are other opportunities that come with being a member of Proudly South African, and the biggest One, or the biggest of those are the platforms that we make available, market access opportunities, because people sit with products. It's one thing to say to people, go into business, but if even if you can get whatever funding you need, if there's no market for your products and there's no one to buy the products, then it defeats the purpose. And that is where we come in. That's why we buy local companies, to rally people to buy from those companies, because we can bravely say to anyone that anyone who the company that affiliates with us produces high quality products, so you can buy from them. And that's the guarantee we give you. So we create platforms, either exhibition platforms where we know you are specific. If you are in a, let's say, let's use Miss Nkosi's company as an example. She's in waste. Whatever products that she's putting out, if it was gifts, we would find the Decorex, for example, mm-hmm. where we know that people come and are looking for companies that they can buy gifts from. So we use those kind of platforms to showcase our member products. There was a diplomatic fair that took place over the weekend where different countries were showcasing the products that come out of those countries. We took 10 of our members to the diplomatic fair to go and showcase their products to buyers from outside of the country. So we look at those platforms where we know that our members will benefit, and we showcase their products and services, because it's about finding markets for them. So the biggest benefit is the use of the logo. But outside of that, we find you markets and we give you opportunities to find people who will buy from you, whether in the private sector or in the public sector.
Mm. Mosa, are we proud as a registered bra?
We should be.
No, please make sure of it. You know, we cannot not be getting benefits, man. Yeah. So, Bulele?
No, I think one of the things that comes to mind is what sort of numbers do you guys attract in terms of township entrepreneurs?
So,
do you have those stats?
Bulelani loves township entrepreneurs.
Because yeah. I'm that guy.
Township economies, I think, it's a big part of the lingo at this point in time. Mm. Look, I wouldn't necessarily say in the townships, but SMMEs. I think broadly, most of them come from the townships.
Yeah, that's true.
The biggest number of companies that we are attracting at this point in time are SMMEs, because they see the value more than the bigger corporates. I think the bigger corporates, some of them have been with us long enough. They know what we do. They have big marketing budgets. And remember, if you affiliate with Pali South African and you put out a message that says to people, buy local products and buy Pali South African products, an SMME that uses the logo benefits by association. So because we've said to people they must look for the Pali South African sticker, they will buy from that person. So they see the value. A bigger corporate will afford to go and buy an exhibition stand for themselves at Decorex, as an example, or at the Innovation Summit. But an SMME will see the value. So an SMME that pays 500 rands to us and gets exposure through an exhibition stand that costs 30, 40 grand sees the value. And that's why the bulk of the people that affiliate with us are SMMEs, because they see the value, and the bulk of them come from the townships.
Yeah.
So we do have quite a bit. I don't have the numbers in terms of saying how many of them come from the townships, but the bulk of companies that we've attracted over the last 3 to 4 years are predominantly SMMEs.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing for me where I was leading with that question is, I think workshops, or rather engagement around how to utilize waste in the township, would be a very critical one, like I said in the intro to the show, especially with entrepreneurs, because you find carpenters, you find guys fixing cars, the oil is scattered, it's left wherever, you know, wherever at the end of the day. And that waste management, there could be waste management opportunities in that space. So, I mean, I think that apart from that, I'd like to invite you off air too, so that we can talk, because there's an initiative we run in township for SMME specifically, so you probably get your numbers there, because 500 is nothing for most of them. But you know, one of the biggest things that I take away from what he's talking about now is the value is there that they are talking about, because I got that stand last year where we exhibited. But here's the thing.
Oh, so I'm sitting here with a beneficiary.
There's a beneficiary.
Hey, I'm 100%.
You don't say.
No, we remember second year, 3 years or 2 years running now. We got that. We exhibited last year. And we got great opportunities. That's great. Marketing leads. It was a fantastic expo. I think that more than anything, one of the most amazing things there was seeing people creating stuff. But more than that, I think my follow up question to that
Mr.
would
Mashimbe,
be:
Mashimbe, you didn't pay this man.
Hey, you know,
he didn't pay me.
It looks like you paid this man.
I don't
man.
Know. He could have done the interview for
no,
me.
No. Yeah,
I know
I think
I know the previous people. But, I don't.
But you know, even in church,
it's the first time
when it's time to collect offerings, the pastor is not the one that speaks about the money. There's always that guy who speaks about the money.
So this is my pastor, this is my bishop right here. So I mean, you know, we advocate all the time with Deboho about young black people. I'm sorry to say, young black people creating stuff, because we believe that black people, young amazing black people across the board, can create stuff and they have the ability to create stuff. But an interesting thing here is, how many people, whether black, red, green or whatever, do you find creating amazing products from recyclable material?
I think before you answer that, Mr. Mashimbe, I'll give you an opportunity to answer that. Leah, I want you to come sit here. I need to go make sure that we are being registered there so that we get these benefits. And when this man speaks about offering and I speak about offering, Menkosi is a woman, a successful businesswoman who's in the waste space. You are a young woman. So I want you to be the one that will interview her, right? Then you can answer, Mr. Mashir.
Okay. So going back to the first question, and that's why we've partnered with Pick It Up around disposing of waste in the townships, because remember, Pick It Up is responsible for waste management within the city of Joburg, and that's why they are a key strategic partner for us to say, we sit with all these SMMEs, we advocate for manufacturing because it's labor intensive. There are a lot of jobs that come out of that sector. But as a value add, let's find ways to assist all these companies to know how to dispose of their waste. And that's why the roadshow we've been doing with Pick It Up, we've had two business forums, so we've invited business owners. I mean, and that's where I met Ms. Nkosi. So when I got to your reception and I bumped into her, I said to her, you look familiar. I think I saw you at our event. She attended our event and presenting, you are able to engage with everyone. So I had that opportunity to can see everyone in the room. And we have three of those where we engage business people. So three different business forums looking at different sectors, and the construction one was one of those. And the idea is to educate all these small businesses. We might not necessarily be doing it in the townships, but we're doing it in Joburg in an SMME. And the invite was spread across as many of the business associations or representatives within the city of Joburg, including in the townships. And that's why we had a full room. We had catered for, I think, 80 people. We ended up with over 100 people because there is interest. And that gave us an opportunity to educate people around the importance of waste. And Pick It Up could then use that platform to talk about the different landfill sites, the different ways of disposing of different kind of waste. So that's why the partnerships are important for us, and that is what we do as the campaign. We find partners who can go with us on this journey to make sure that we give the support that our SMMEs need in the course of doing business.
Well, that's beautiful. So I'm now going to hand it over to the lovely lady on my right.
Okay, Ms. Zandile Nkosi, can you then just tell us, how can we emphasize the importance of 3R to communities? Because, I mean, looking at these alone, there are business opportunities already, like the recycling of tires, shoes, and so on.
The best way to send the message through to the communities would be to educate the communities. Mm. As it is, yes, I also do work with Pick It Up. And most of whenever we have work to do, we have to actually try and send pamphlets to people to tell them what to do and what material goes where, what is packed together. Like your bottles have got to be on their own, and your cardboard boxes on their own, white paper on their own, glass on their own, cans on their own. So these things are put on pamphlets and are actually distributed to communities.
Okay, and then are there other ways that you train people besides just using maybe pamphlets?
Well, we get people to go around and do physical walk-ins, as the bins are being taken. Mm-hmm. In fact, I do it within my area where I live. I make it my job and my business to tell people or my friends to start recycling, and most of them are doing that currently.
Oh, okay.
Because I do it from my house too. Yes. So they see my recycle material out there, and they always want to know what is happening. And then I tell them, and they've taken to that too.
Okay, can you also then just maybe tell us what's the importance of the trainings for young people, for youth?
For youth, it is very important because, if they understand what rubbish and waste does to the environment, mm-hmm. it will actually help us to save the environment as it is. you know, we are already in a very bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start training people in their young age, they understand and they are able to make their own money. Mm-hmm. You know, I hear students need, yes, pocket money now and again.
Yes,
you are able to make your own money. I mean, I run my own business, but I still sell my recyclables.
Mm-hmm.
And I make pocket money for petrol. You get my say?
Yes. No, I hear you.
So, I mean, it's an interesting thing you said there, that you're able to sell some of your recyclables and make a little bit of buck. I mean, how profitable is this industry? Because, I mean, I think it will change my perspective of throwing cans and bottles away.
Well, in terms of volumes, if you have, a big volumes, you know, what I do, for instance, I will keep my bottles for a month. I drink a lot of water. And obviously there'll be a lot of bottles there. And then when I go to functions or events, I actually offer to collect the bottles. I ask if I can come and collect the bottles the following day. And, you know, being whether Sunday or not, I go back and do that. That's how I'm, and I collect that. It's in volumes. And when I take it through, you know, it's weight in tons. And I make quite a bit. I do come out with 400 rand a day.
So, I mean, you know, it's such an interesting thing as well, yet again, that you touched on, which is, I think as an entrepreneur, you need to be willing to, dirty your hands. And I think in this particular respect, it's not necessarily dirtying your hands because this is the line of business you were in. But
yes.
I've seen a lot of guys shy away from business because, abantu bazothini, which then, how'd you get into business? Why business? What were you doing before?
Okay. I started as a trainee bookkeeper. And I realized, I had sleepless nights not having balanced. And I thought to myself, this is not my kind of business, or rather, career. So I decided to start up a recruitment agency. And this was in 1990. This is where this all comes from. The recruitment agency, I would get people coming to my office, being a black person, woman for that matter, they'd expect me to give them jobs. And they do not understand that one has to have experience or at least some bit of education.
Yes.
So from then, I decided to start up a cleaning company. The cleaning company, I said to myself, I'm going to do tenders, and depending on the number of awards or awarded tenders I get, I would place whoever there, whether it's 10 people for the one company. But it was just to alleviate the pressure because people just took it. I am, going to be able to come to their rescue where work is concerned. And that is where I basically started the business. And whilst I was in recruitment, I've been recruiting for Pick It Up, as in general workers. And whilst I was there, I was given 25 people to manage because they didn't want the people to mingle with their permanent workers. These were temps. So what I did is I was looking after these temps, paying them, giving them uniform and managing them. And then there was an opportunity in 2010 for cleaning the part of Johannesburg. And I got the south of Johannesburg. That is from your FNB stadium right up to the market, as in your market, Joburg market. So I cleaned that whole area, street cleaning and sweeping, basically, that is. That is how I got into the love of working with waste. I had to buy myself two trucks, two compactors to collect the dirt. And when the contract ended in 2013, I decided there was an opportunity, from Pick It Up to hire the trucks that I had, because now I didn't have work for them. So I hired my trucks to them. And that's how I started with the hiring of trucks to other municipalities.
When's the last time you picked up a piece of paper or a bottle on the side of the road?
My word.
Do you even do it? We're putting you on the spot right
I
now.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Because I saw you walking in, jumping over that. I'm kidding. But I mean, how important is it? I mean, how important is it for us to keep our environment clean, or rather even to recycle?
No, it definitely is very important for us to do so. I mean, we find so many cases where people do, you know, do it sometimes unconsciously. You know what I mean? Because of our busy lifestyles, we go around so busy texting, so busy, you know, with a lot on our minds, and we forget to actually keep our environment clean, forgetting that it is what contributes to our health. You know, it is what contributes to keeping our environment safe, even for everyone on it. You know what I mean? So it is very important, you know, to
in the next generation.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. To make sure that, you know, we keep it clean for the next generation. So, yeah.
Now, have you ever heard this line? I need to litter, because when I litter, I'm creating jobs.
Yes. Always.
What's your opinion? I want to get, I'd like to get the CEO's opinion on this.
I think that is quite irresponsible.
Yeah. Yes.
It's very irresponsible. I think it doesn't necessarily mean that because you have not littered, the next person will not have a job. I think we were taught from a young age, you know, things like cleanliness is next to godliness. Mm. Do not litter. I have 7-year-olds and they refuse to let me litter in any way, in any form. And I think it starts at that age. So we need to, you know, educate, you know, fellow South Africans on the importance of keeping the country clean. It's about the image of the country as well. What kind of image do you want to project, you know, to the rest of the world, but also to ourselves? I think it starts at home. So it's very irresponsible. And that's why we are saying, as part of South Africa, one of the criteria is make sure that if you are a manufacturer and you're manufacturing, have waste disposal policies that make sure that you dispose of waste responsibly, so that, you know, you don't, on the one hand, you know, doing a good job, a good thing by creating jobs, but on the other hand, you're polluting the environment. It defeats the purpose. We take one step forward and two steps back. So it's quite important to make sure that companies implement recycling principles within the organizations. Companies make sure that they have policies that make sure that they dispose of waste correctly. Or they use the waste for recycling purposes if required, because that is how we're going to create jobs. It's an economy of its own. And, you know, through the partnership with Picking Up, I've learned so much about waste. There are so many jobs that are created within the sector. And here's an entrepreneur who employs people. Maybe one of the things we must ask her is how many people she employs, so that you get a sense of how big this economy actually is.
Soma?
Yeah. You know, with that question that you posed, as in how many times we've had people say they're creating work as when they actually litter. Working on the streets is the most difficult thing, because you'd be, you know, looking after your people, you know, making sure they're doing the right thing. And somebody would just decide to come and just, you know, or throw their papers or whatever. And when you ask them, but why don't you just keep whatever in your car and, you know, dispose of it later when you get home? And, yeah, unfortunately, human beings are very interesting people,
yeah,
in the sense that we come from different environments, and the teachings that, you know, come, or rather, that we are taught are different. A lot of people just feel they can do anything. And then, more than anything, it's normally people, the people that we have, who I would unfortunately say, you know, that actually sell on the streets, that do that. And most of those people, when you try and tell them that, they will talk in their language that you don't understand, clearly, because they don't come from this country. So they feel they can do as they please when they get here.
So, I mean, how many bottles of, water, cool drink do you dispose of? Yeah. Like, I mean, just think about it in the posture, assumingly so. I mean, how many times did you go out and you bought something to drink? It was in either in a can form or a plastic form. Like, just an assumption. I also don't know, but let's just play with rough numbers.
We'd say hundreds, you know. We go out every day, so I'd say hundreds, and we don't even think twice, you know.
Because here's the thing, no? I know that from a business perspective, we need to look at ways, but also from a personal perspective, what can we do in our personal spaces to make sure that we recycle? Because one of the things, I don't know if you've seen this, you'd walk into buildings and you'd see a white bin, a green, I'm not sure about the colors, but different things are thrown into different places. Could you please educate us a little bit about that? Or rather, how do we personally join in the Proudly SA fight to make sure that South Africa is a better place?
The best to do there is with bottles. What I do, I take a black bag, the black bags that you use at home. You put your bottles, your plastic bottles in, you know, all together. And then your paper. We get, fortunately, Mondi bags. And, you know, that are collected on every Tuesday. So you fill up your bag, you put it outside for Monday to collect. So with plastic bottles, I would suggest you put them in a bag. You put them out, you know, outside your with your bin for collection day, because there's always people who are collecting from the bins. So you'd save them going into the bin, you know, digging out for these things. You already have them on the side with your bin, you know, for collection. Mm. That would actually help very well.
Yeah. And, you know, okay, being a young person, I know how they think.
Mm. Oh, yes.
You know, and most would actually say that that is too much. There's a term that they use saying that is too much admin.
Of course, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
having
of course, yes.
To focus on separating waste, you know. How can we encourage young people to actually do that on a personal level, you know, because I do know that there are institutions, for instance, in the Western Cape, you know, where there are programs that they encourage students to be a part of, you know, in terms of recycling, saving water and so on and so on. I come from an institution like that, you know, where in the year we spend a couple of months where we actually interact with the public, you know, and encourage the public to actually get involved in situations like that. But besides that, I mean, like Lalani mentioned, you know, in our personal space, how can you encourage a young person like myself, you know, to...
You actually start doing it from home.
Yes.
And, you know, people tend to copy what they see. Mm. Once you start doing it, you won't believe it. People tend to just do it. Mm. People visit me, they see what I do, and then they do it. And it becomes a habit, by the way. It becomes a habit. I've seen friends going, you know, driving around with me, and then they see bottles, they stop, they pick up the bottles. Mm. It becomes a natural thing.
And I mean, here's the thing, though. You know, you're sitting there, I'm admiring you, because you're speaking with so much courage, or so much finesse, or so much pause. Going into business, what are some of the challenges? I want to digress a little bit so that, I mean, to the young listeners that are listening out there, you know, get really inspired and also know that this is not a wake up and go sort of a journey. It's one that you need to make up your mind about. What are some of the challenges that you face, not only as an entrepreneur, but as a lady who's an entrepreneur?
The one thing, where do you want me to start? With how do I get people to get into business first?
Yeah, I think maybe you could make it a dual answer.
Okay.
I'll leave it to
right.
you.
Okay. Being a female, you have to work, I always say you have to work triple hard. The fact that you have to prove to people out there that you are able to do it. Mm. And fortunately for me, I'm driven. I don't stop, you know, until I get what I want. I am a workaholic, and I know whatever service I provide, I do my best. I'd rather not even sleep at night, making sure that whatever is done. For instance, you know, when there is strikes in the Joburg city, I take over, my company takes over and cleans out the city at night. Hmm. So I end up not sleeping at all, making sure that the waste is collected for the night, so that in the morning everything is clean. So that is how much you push yourself. You've got to love what you do first, and if you are not in an environment that you love, there is no way you're going to make it in business. I always say to people, make sure it is something that you love, that you have passion for. As much as I love waste. Mm. I just love it.
And then, I mean, did you get funding for your business?
No, I didn't. I've always had to work from my pocket. And I'm very proud of that, because I don't owe nobody. And end of the day, you know, when you go to the banks, they'll give you a story. You need to put together a business plan. I've had, you know, I've been rejected, actually, just trying to buy a truck. You know, I was told a whole lot of things that I had to bring through. So fortunately for me, I save. I invest, actually. So I tap into my investments.
That's a beautiful thing.
And that's how I actually pay off my trucks.
How many people do you employ? I want to catch you in. Here's my burning. Me and the CEO's burning
at
question.
At last count, it was 168.
Yeah. What?
Yes.
What?
And remember, these are street cleaners, so you have them in volumes, and you know, it's more of a hand done than mechanical.
So, CEO. What do you think of that?
No, it is.
I'm in awe because I mean, this is what you were talking about a little bit earlier.
But that's a success story, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And that is what we're looking for, you know, case studies. Yes. Because people are scared to go into business because of the various obstacles that they think like they come across, including funding, including markets. But there's a case study. Put your mind to it, you know, and find something to focus on. I think we try to tap into too many things.
You must love. Love whatever you do. Because if you don't love it, you just do it for the sake of being in business or making money. You won't succeed.
All of us just want things.
No. Yeah.
And I mean, if you don't love it, once things fail, you just let it go. You know, Umis Zandile is actually a good example. You are a good example, Yoba. You just need yourself. You need to trust yourself, and you need to just run with what have. There is nothing standing in your way besides you in most cases.
Preach. So I mean, this is the part in the segment that we normally leave for later, but I'd like to dab into it a little bit more in depth. CEO, if you were speaking right now to a group of 10 SMMEs that knew nothing about waste, that were in the manufacturing space, what would you say to them in terms of encouraging them about this? Because I think that another thing is that we know to a certain degree about waste and the fact that we shouldn't litter. But I think it's a certain level of ignorance, or rather the fact that there are policies that are rigid, that are aligned to that particular thing. It's like me. I mean, years ago, I looked at, you know, being tax compliant as a tedious task. Why should I do it? They're going to require this and this and this and this and this from me.
So I think the most important thing, and I wouldn't have too much to say except the fact that it's actually an opportunity to generate revenue out of it. And that's what one of the things that we do. So you implement a recycling policy where everybody knows that if there's paper that you've used, it can be reused. You hook up with a company that collects paper that can be recycled. And it's always at a fee. People think there's no money to be made in this thing. So as an SMME, you are in business to make money.
That's true.
And this is another revenue stream that you can introduce in your business. Make sure that if you're a company that generates a lot of waste because of production processes that are involved on a day-to-day basis in your business, that's another opportunity. Find ways to see how you can use that waste. I mean, this is a perfect example of the fact that there is money to be made out of waste.
That's
and
true.
That's why Pick It Up is driving this process to make sure that the messages are going out, and we're talking to different people from different spheres of society to make sure that they understand that there is an opportunity to actually make money. It's an industry that is booming. So that is what I would say to the SMMEs, to say, look at your production processes. Even if you're just rendering services, look at whatever waste comes out of your business and dispose of it responsibly. Introduce things like Ms. Nkosi said, of separating your waste, because there might be opportunities for your business to make money. Simply because it's a volumes game as well. It's a volumes game. So if everyone in the company buys into it, the more you can get out of it in terms of making sure that you generate revenue for your business.
Yeah. Let's drive it home a little bit further. Let's drive it just a pinch bit further. Please just elaborate to the listeners out there. I mean, not just how important is it, but what actually happens to our environment when we don't follow these particular processes?
What actually happens is most of those, the litter, the waste, goes into streams. Then eventually they land in rivers. And we all use water from those rivers. And we end up having to drink that water. And there are people, you know, in the rural areas who actually drink from that water. So that people get sick. And, it becomes such a health hazard that you don't want people to be getting sick out there. So you make sure you dispose of your litter properly so that you save the environment besides, more than anything.
No, it's very interesting, Mengo, so what you're saying, especially around the issues of environment. It's definitely something that I think it needs to be communicated further, especially to the people within various communities. And I think Proudly SA needs to come in as well in terms of making people aware of the benefits more of that. I want us, when I come back, I've got Mr. Wandile Dlamini on the line, who's the CEO of e-waste, to come in on the line. But before then, I think when I come back from speaking to Mr. Dlamini, Mr. Mashibi, I want us to tell, I want you to tell us a bit about the campaigns that you have coming up. I understand you have the Christmas campaign as well, and you've got. You say, I'm very informed.
Yeah. I'm sitting with ambassador. These people are converted. Yeah, the only one in the room that still needs to be converted. Yeah.
No, definitely. Let me go to Mr. Mr. Dlamini. Mr. Dlamini, how are you, sir? Mr. Dlamini? Mr. Dlamini? No, I can't seem to be able to connect with him on the line. Mr. Dlamini? Okay, why are we still trying to bring him back on the line? Can maybe tell us quickly about the campaign that you're running?
I think the biggest thing that we are working on, which started on the 1st, which was yesterday, the 1st of November, is the festive season campaign, where, you know, during this time of the year, people buy a lot of gifts. People spend quite a lot of money, people travel. So we're saying to people, instead of, you know, this stop being blessers and going to Dubai, let's visit local destinations. So let's let the focus be on supporting our local economy, local industry. So buy gifts that are manufactured locally. When you go into the stores, look out for the label. Check the label, whether you're buying clothes for your kids. You know, Renarhola, when you're growing up, they used to buy us the Aparta Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's Christmas time, you get new clothes. So there is still that culture where people tend to, you know, to wait for this time of the year to spend quite a bit of money on clothes for their kids, on gifts that they exchange during the Christmas period. So we're saying to people, choose those products. Those of you who are going home, you know, people in Joburg, like you said earlier on, not everyone is from here. So when people stock up and they go back to the provinces where they come from, usually people buy a lot of groceries. So we're saying when you go into the stores, on the shelves, look out for the Proudly South African logo, or look out for the logo that says to you where the product originates from. So the country of origin, if it's made in South Africa, you know that when you buy that product, you're keeping the people who have contributed to the creation of those products employed. Those people will go home for Christmas, but when they come back, they'll still have jobs in January because you will have contributed, you'll have done your bit. So that is the intention behind the festive season campaign, to make sure that South Africans make a conscious choice to buy local during this festive season, and they choose local products over this festive season, as well as after the festive season, when you have to prepare your kids for the next school year. Make sure that when you buy their stationaries, when you buy their books, when you buy their uniform, their school shoes, buy what is made locally, because all those things exist. We have products that can compete with the global peers, and it cuts across all sectors. So we're saying to people, from the 1st of November, we know people got paid, their bonuses coming up, use those bonuses to contribute. Let's not leave it to government to create jobs. Let's all do our bit. And that is all we're asking of you to do. You are going to consume anyway. You're going to spend the money anyway. Just make a choice to choose local products and choose to visit local destinations.
Yeah, no, definitely. But I think more than anything, I think, Bulelan, we had an interesting show. What do you think?
No, man, it was a very, very interesting show. But here's my last parting question. This is an interesting dialogue. With regards to we're creating the hype around buying local, do you feel that we've got enough entrepreneurs or in the South Africans that are creating products?
We have quite a lot. We have products that cut across all sectors. So anything and everything that you can think of is manufactured locally. We do have. It might be a matter of capacity in terms of making sure that the product might not be wholly manufactured in South Africa, where the components might be brought in from elsewhere. But the transformation of those materials or those components into the final product happens here. And I'll use as an example. Hisense, you know, during this time of the year, people change their TV screens, their TV sets. We are saying to you, buy a Hisense TV set because it's manufactured in Cape Town, in Atlantis, and people are employed there. The components might come from China because it's a Chinese company, but a lot of the work that goes into making sure that the final product hits the shelves happens within South Africa. So we do have products across all sectors. And it ranges from consumables to, you know, anything that you can think of, to large heavy machinery equipment. The country has capacity, and we are able to compete in terms of the quality as well.
So. Definitely. Mankose, as we close, people that want to get hold of you, where do they get a hold of you?
It would be at my email address, zandi@zee.co.za. And then my cell number is 082-335-0500. And we do a lot of refuse collections.
Oh, nice. I like that. Mr. Mashibu?
If you want to get hold of us, our email address is info@proudlysa.co.za. Or you can go onto our website, www.proudlysa.co.za. Or call us on our number, 011-327-7778. So 32 and 4 7 8. My colleague says 4 7. Oh. So if there's anything like 4 7, it helps people remember it. 32 4 7 8. But it's actually 32 7 7 8.
No, definitely. No, thank you for joining us on the show. It was really great having you. We're definitely looking forward to having you again next year.
Thank you for inviting us.
Thank you for having us.
No, definitely. Leah, you're going to take my job, sis. For people that want to follow you on social media, you are?
Okay, I am Leah Lona on Facebook. I am at Miss Leah on Twitter. And I am at Miss Leah ZA on Instagram.
Definitely. Bulelani, closing?
Get things done. Don't waste, don't let her get things done.
Okay. Catch us again next time for another exciting installment of 360 Biz. I'll be broadcasting all the way from London. Looking definitely forward to it. If you've missed or you just tuned in on the show, you can go to www.cliffcentral.com and go to the podcast to actually get to this show or even many other interesting shows that we have. My name is Deborah Mafodi. This is Cliff Central 360 Biz. I'm out.
Cliffcentral.com.